I love the Smiths.
Sorry?
I said I love the Smiths. You've good taste in music.
You like the Smiths?
Yeah. To die by your side is such a heavenly way to die. I love them.
Holy.
This is a story of boy meets girl.
They made a statue of us.
The boy, Tom Hansen, grew up believing that he'd never truly be happy until the day he met the one. The girl, Summer Finn, did not share this belief. You should know up front, this is not a love story.
I think we should stop seeing each other.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Start from the beginning and tell us what happened.
I tried to talk to her in the copy room. She's totally not having it.
Maybe she was just in a hurry.
And maybe she's an uppity, better than everyone super skank.
In college, they called me perfectly adequate and handsome.
They used to call me anal girl. I was very neat and organized.
Why won't nobody love JGL?
Well, you do.
But he doesn't understand how much I love him. I suck your dick, JGL. You are my Nightwing and my Spider-Man all into one. You are everything I could ever. You're my everything I could hope for. You're the everlasting man that I need. Oh my God! Where is this man's Oscar? Where is his awards?
He'll get one soon.
He is fantastic. He's just fantastic to cinema in general, in our generation.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a date. This is why I don't date this girl, whatever, because we're on a date. I can't remember what we went to go see together, and a JGL movie trailer showed up. It might have been Looper, or it might have been...
Premium Rush?
Yeah, it was Looper. And I was just like, I started standing up and clapping when I saw the trailer for it, and the girl was like, why are you clapping? I was like, that man right there is what cinema needs today. And I was like, he is an up-and-coming, one of the best actors of our generation right now. And she looked at me and said, psh, whatever, he ain't really all that great. I looked there and said, you bitch! What did you just say? I'm saying it exact word for word. I said it just like that. I said, you bitch, out loud. What did you just say? How dare you? I told her, I said, I'm going to the bathroom. I came back and I snuck back in and just sat at the top of the theater and watched the movie and shit like that. I was just like, bitch. I just scolded because I wanted to see the movie really bad.
What movie? Do you remember what you saw?
I don't even remember what it was. Let's see, it was around Looper, and I came. That was 2012, so I think it was Dark. You know what? It might have been Dark Knight Rises. I think it was.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I cried for a second time when I saw that movie. I said, it's not as good. It's the one.
Yeah.
Plot points.
But this, I think, looking at his resume, I think this movie made him who he is today.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was not a name like he is now before this.
Yeah, I remember Lena and them used to quote him from his TV shows. So I watched the shows, but I never, up at the time, I wasn't old enough to know if the TV show.
Yeah, fuck that show. That show was stupid.
Man, people love that fucking show, and I remember watching. I just couldn't get on him. Whatever.
No, I hated that French Stewart. I hated the fucking older daughter that looked like a man.
A whore.
I did not like that show.
Man, I can't tell you how many times people have quoted that shit to me, but, people, welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 48. I'm the Phenomenal One, MoviesPulsePodcast.com, Corey.
This is Z from TheFanCritic.com.
We're talking about 500 Days of Summer and my boyfriend, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who can... God damn, man, why can't he be Batman Beyond or Spider-Man or something? What the hell's wrong with you people?
He's gonna be something. He's gonna be something.
I hear a lot of people talk about Mark Webb. His writing.
Fuck him. Seriously. How did he make this?
The way they talk about Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone's, like, the chemistry they have on screen, I'm like, I don't see the chemistry. But in this movie, I totally see why they like each other.
Why couldn't JGL be fucking Spider-Man?
That's what I've been saying since 2009. He looks like Peter Parker. He can pull off the nerdy look.
Yeah. Off in this movie a couple. He doesn't need glasses.
Yeah, he can pull it off. Like, he looks like he's just born to be a fucking superhero. And it just, oh my god, they just will not put it on him. I mean, the man is a true gem to Hollywood. He really is. JG, I hope you're listening, man. I love you, man. Page me. Call me.
Marvel should scoop him up.
What was that?
Marvel should scoop him up for something. Before DC
Doctor Strange or whatever, but...
Well, before DC gets his hands on him and turns him into shit. He'll be Robin and Batman vs. Superman.
They let him go.
He'll be fucking Nightwing and Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, with all the cast that's going on in that fucking movie, I heard they added Cyborg to the movie now. Yes. All the fucking cast are coming here. I wouldn't be shocked if they put Nightwing in.
It's going to be fucking Justice League.
Why don't they just fucking call it that? I mean, at this point, why don't they just call it Justice League War at this point? I mean, shit. They're getting every fucking character from that movie. I'm like, oh, shit, like, here we go.
Yeah.
But, no, the chemistry that Zooey Deschanel and Joseph Gordon-Levitt had in this movie, I completely got it. And it felt natural and realistic. And Spider-Man that Mark Webb did for Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy, it just feels like awkward teenagers.
What did I text you? I'm like, Mark Webb directed this?
Yeah, you did.
I'm like, what the he's directed, right now, 3 movies. This, yeah. Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, then he's going to do 3. I'm like...
Is he doing 3 or?
He's doing 3. Yeah. And I'm like, how can you go from this to that?
And a lot of people keep saying, like, the best part of those movies is Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone's chemistry. I'm just
that
chemistry looks weird. Like, first of all, do you understand why Emma Stone even likes Peter Parker in the movie?
No.
Exactly.
You know what? Kirsten Dunst and Tobey Maguire had better chemistry.
I said the same thing. I was like, Andrew Garfield is he's a douchebag, and Emma Stone, it seemed like she just likes him because he's gonna be a bad boy or whatever. I just like, I don't get that at all. But in this movie, you're like, man, the writing is tight on their chemistry on air. I completely understand why Joseph Gordon-Levitt has this film. I've dated a woman that was Zooey Deschanel in this movie. I mean...
You mean the friend zone?
That ain't no friend zone. That's the ultimate friend zone. That is the ultimate friend zone where, like, that shit drives you crazy after a while. And they actually brought, Joseph Gordon-Levitt actually brought up a good point in one scene where he was just like, I need to know where this is at because I don't want you to wake up one morning and forget.
Was that after he got his ass kicked? That's why
What was that?
Was that after he got his ass kicked or was that in the car?
Yeah. That was after he got hit.
But the weird thing is that, you know, throughout the whole movie, you know, I like that they kind of kept jumping ahead and going back. You know, I like that.
That was great. That was another thing of Mark Webb. That was a great way of directing a film, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, something unique and interesting you don't see, especially for this little indie film that came out as well.
You just don't know why with her. You don't know why she just stopped.
Because she's a bitch. You don't need to know. She's a woman. That's why, you know.
She is such an underrated actress. How can you not like her?
Because at the beginning of the film, they set up a thing like, I like this little opening too, because I love that song that they open up with.
Mm-hmm.
That
was her, wasn't it? Levitt.
What was that?
Was that her singing?
No, hell no. That was, no.
Well, there was a female singing, I thought that was her.
Yeah, her name is Regina Spektor, who sings that song. What are you talking about?
Okay, but because I know she sang a song in the movie, so.
They're karaoke, dude. What the fuck?
It's an iTunes bonus track, so.
But anyway, like I was saying, shit, goddamn, what the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, like I was saying, they set up that it's a boy meets girl story, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, played by Tom, he's like one of those romantic guys. He's that hopeless romantic. He believes in destiny and fate and fall in love. And he pretty much has the same parents. His parents split up as a young age too. And then you got on the other side, you got this girl who parents split up, and she's one of those that don't believe in destiny or fate. She just believes things happen, and you just move on from it and keep on going, whatever. So she has no hope and faith. There, I love that scene where the narrator was setting up the only thing that she loved was two things. One was her long, dark hair, and she just decided to cut it off just to see how easy it was to lose it. And I was like, God damn, that bitch is... that bitch is two shades of dark away from emo right now.
And, this... He went, I mean...
It's funny because you have two characters here that are somewhat similar in their likings of things, but they're so different at the same time.
Oh, yeah, they were pretty much the same people.
Yeah, they have the same likes and dislikes of things, as mm-hmm. far as, like, you know, hobbies, music, and shit like that, whatever. But as far as their morality and what they believe in are so different. And that proved to be the strongest point of their split up in the movie, is that their moralities can't stick to what they believe in.
Is that the kind of... Is that the kind of, like, the same thing, that it's, like, opposites attract, but if you're, like, the same person, it's not going to work?
You know, that's another good point to bring up as well. You know, that's another thing here as well, where you have Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, who's someone that is, he believes in this love that's happening. He believes that you should be labeled as a boyfriend girl. He believes in a family and settling down, whereas in Zooey Deschanel's character at the beginning is... I don't believe in that, and I don't want to label anything to complicate things. I just feel that we're two people having fun going along with the motion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes that can get a little frustrating after a while, because like Joseph Gordon-Levitt said, you know, I need to know where we're situated at, because, you know, I wake up one morning, you could be like... And it's not the bitch on Zooey Deschanel's character, because she said a line, too, when he said that I was just like, that makes sense, too. He says, I need to know if you'll be here tomorrow or still like me, and she told him, well, what difference does that make if we're boyfriend and girlfriend? Because I can still feel the same way. And I was just like, you're a clever bitch.
She had him wrapped around her finger.
Oh, hell yeah.
He
was obsessed with the girl. He was obsessed. He fell in love. It was like the one ever said, boy meets girl. They fell in love, first sight.
So was it like 11 days he fell in love?
That last 100, I think, was... I don't think that last... Around the 400 time is when he started breaking plates and shit, so I think...
Oh, that was awesome.
That was awesome. Should have broken over her face. Bitch. She broke my man's heart. I thought that the two had a lot of... even though they were so different in the moralities of how a boyfriend-girlfriend and how this relationship thing works out, I thought that they both gave good arguments as to why they believe in what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's what made it work. Like, it made it feel more intelligent than just Zooey Deschanel being a bitch, which she did break my man's heart, but she did bring up good points. And there was even a scene where they went on a blind date, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt went on a blind date, and the girl asked him, did she tell you she just wanted to be friends at the beginning? He's just like, yeah, she did. And she was asking him more questions. He was just like, no, she never disrespect. No. And I was thinking about that, too. I was like, damn, now you're making JGL look like the bad guy. Shut the fuck up. Shit, get off this blind date.
Yeah, it's, yeah, because I kind of, I keep.
A synopsis.
I give it, okay. 500 Days of Summer, directed by Mark Webb. Why, I don't know. It's just so weird saying that. Starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel. Came out August 7, 2009. Budget $7.5 million. Box office $60 million. And it's about Tom, who's a greeting card worker. He writes greeting cards. And he pretty much falls in love with his boss's assistant, Summer. And pretty much we go on the roller coaster ride.
Yeah. I like to call it a romantic tragedy.
This ain't considered a rom-com.
It is a rom-com. Yeah, well, that's what they consider it to be. I mean, it has moments of being funny. And
did you...
It's romantic at times, but...
I literally, like, this is the first time I watched it. And I told you, I was like, thank you for putting this in my life.
You know what? I rewatched it just right now before we even started this because I just wanted to, because we had time where I just wanted to see it again. This is definitely one of my favorite romantic comedy movies.
Yep.
We did what was that movie? 10 Things I Hate About You. It's okay, decent, whatever. But when you really get down to it, it's just kind of stupid, brainless
humor. You mean How to Lose a Guy?
Like, oh. Yeah, and this one, it felt more smarter and realistic. as to how situations turn out.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully Webb didn't write this. He just directed it.
Yeah.
Very
and
smart.
And I like his directorial. I like his direction he took on it as far as how he split the days up, going backwards to forward and past, whatever. I thought he handled that pretty well.
And it was happy moments. It was a happy moment to a to a non-happy moment. Then it just,
you remember the scene where he was dancing and he got in the elevator and he came off and he looked like shit?
Yes. Oh, yeah, after they had sex for the first time? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like dancing, he's happy down the street, and then when he gets on the elevator, the day speed, I think with the day 300 or something or whatever, and then he gets off the elevator and he looks like complete shit. He's just like...
That's when he quit his job, wasn't it?
What was that?
Wasn't that when he quit his job?
Yeah, that was the same day he quit his job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought he handled that pretty well, because most movies that would have done that, they usually look like a mess where you get lost in kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. But I thought it just, I don't know, it just felt like it fit so well with the, of how he was directed. So I was like, when I found out he was directing Spider-Man, I was just like, man, he's going to have his own direction take on it. I was just like, yeah, he didn't have any kind of, you can tell studio had their hands all up in this fucking
movie. Oh, I believe it, and I believe you can believe it too.
Yeah, you're right.
I was very confused on the title at the time. Oh. until they said her name. I'm like, oh, I get it now. Why is 500 in parentheses?
You know what? That's a good question. But I'm thinking that he's trying to separate the days with the girl actually being Summer.
Gotcha.
That's just a guess. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But that actually is a good question. Because, like you said, that title might be confusing if you don't know the chick's name. But it's not just 500 days of the summer. It's, or, you know, just years that pass by in the summer. It's 500 days of this girl in my life.
Yeah. And
summer.
I'm gonna give him props for all the shit he went through. And he kind of made himself a better person because he was an architect. He went to school for that. And he actually went, he was at the green card company for what, about, they say about 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, he said about 4 years, yeah.
And, you know, after this whole thing happened, he quits his job, and he goes to architect. And he tries to find jobs. I'm like, you're actually improving yourself. That's actually, like, noble and awesome.
You know that's one of those human traits that, like, you know, when you go through, like, a bad breakup or something like that, you kind of want to better yourself to either show that person off or, like, put yourself in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never said, but you can tell in the movie that she kind of looks at him just like he's simple, plain, and boring, staying at this job for so long, even though he can do so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really pursues it at that. And I feel like he felt like he could after they split apart, he felt like he should better himself for this, to not fulfill her wishes, but to show her that, you know,
he doesn't need her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That he can get over her or whatever, because, man, as smart as this chick was.
But you gotta admit, though, you would fall in love with her, too.
What was that?
You would fall in love with her, too.
I can see why he loved her, though, like, personally. Like, have you ever met a woman that just, like, you know, like, there was a scene on the elevator where she was listening to his headphones, and, because it was funny, because with that scene before, he was just like, she's probably stuck up anyway. Fuck her. I don't care about her anyway. And there's a scene where she's like, I love that band. He looked at her and was like, nobody likes that band. And then the elevator door just closed and he says, shit.
And then he was trying, like, he was like,
I didn't see why.
And I was say he was like, and then he like played like the song, because the band Smiths, that's what they were listening to. He played on his computer at work, like, really loud to get her attention.
Get her attention.
I'm like, this dude, I mean, even his friend said the same thing. Be like, you're stalking her, pretty much.
That shit was hilarious. Because she heard him, and she was like, yeah, we can go. I'm stalking. I mean, starving. He's like, oh, fuck.
I loved. This is, like, Matthew Gray Gubler. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I only know him from Criminal Minds.
He's
and
good.
He was awesome in this.
I actually have a friend like both of them, too. I thought it was funny because I, like, I've been in this position where you want to get the hot chick's attention or something like that, so you just do random shit like that.
I love...
Who hasn't done shit like that?
It's true.
I thought... if anything, this movie is the most relatable romantic comedy film I've ever seen. I don't think anything was done out of the norm of just going like, okay, that's a little extreme or anything like that. I feel like you understand where both characters are coming from and almost the desperation they are to have this thing that they both want so desperately. And the dialogue in here, man, oh my God.
Smart writing.
Oh my God.
Smart writing.
The writing on here, just the interaction level, because I was trying to find out what was my favorite when I was just rewatching. I was trying to figure out which was my favorite dialogue scene, and I was like, this one's it. And then you get to the end where they're just sitting on the bench and talking or whatever, and I was like, damn, this is a good scene.
That was one of my favorite scenes, too.
Yeah, it was a really good scene. I was just like, God, who the writer on here, man?
Because that's one of my favorite scenes is because he had so much confidence. Because yeah. he's pretty much asking her, like, what happened? Why do you tell me? You know, they were at their friend's wedding, and they were dancing, and they were having a good time, and all this stuff. And he's, you know, his love's probably building again.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's trying to rekindle that fire in his heart and whatever.
Yeah, and, you know, then she just says, I'm having a party Friday, you want to come? Sure. And then all of a sudden, I like the reality, reality part.
That was a good direction of what Mark Webb did right there. I was like, how come he can't do any of this for Spider-Man? What the fuck?
Well, the studio probably has ultimate call on that.
I'm telling you, man, the studio, Sony needs to get their head out their ass and just let this man do something. They wanted to be different from the original. I believe Mark Webb probably could have did something totally different where it would just been like, this is a whole new take on the superhero genre itself here. And
oh yeah,
they are so stuck into the film, whatever. Because the director, like you said, that expectation in there, that was awesome. That was one of my favorite scenes, actually.
Yeah, I mean, God damn, that's why. Like, I'm like, what the fuck happened to Webb? Did he sell out?
He got some money in his pocket. That's what happened.
I mean, this movie was a huge they call it a sleeper hit.
Yeah, it was a little indie release. Didn't do anything really, but it stayed in office for long. And then when it came out on Blu-ray, it had like a cult following going around to it. So, you know, yeah, like you said, it's a sleeper hit here.
I think it was a huge success at Sundance, and that's one of the biggest film festivals in the world. Cannes is the number one, but Sundance is a huge.
It's coming up there.
Yeah, it's top three.
Probably the top three in the States, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a huge success. And then it just, when it got released, boom, $60 million off 7.5 with pretty much two people you don't really know.
Yeah.
And a director.
At this time, debut
director.
Yeah, debut director, first-time director on here. Yeah, you said two people. You got one that come from TV and one that wasn't really famous. And even the side characters here, you don't really know any of them.
Mm-mm. And Clark Gregg, we said he's Coulson in Avengers, but who was he before?
Mm-hmm. And, or even Chloe, for that matter, who's a huge actress now.
Yeah. And yeah, Zoe was, she was always that
background girl.
There you go. That's probably the best way to put it, is background girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, she was an elf. She was the love interest in Elf.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit.
Elf's still.
I'm talking about good movies here.
But, I mean, she's not as big.
That shot of expectation and
that was great.
Reality.
That was great.
That was brilliant. Like, his expectations when she invited them to this party, because she's still living in this world that we're just friends. She says that so many times in the movie, whatever. We're just friends. We're just friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm inviting him over as a friend. And he's going in here with these expectations. I love when on the expectation side, when he opens the door and she just kisses him on the lips and shit. And they're like talking, having a good time, ignoring everybody else. And then we see reality side. None of that is happening at all.
I was, first time watching, I'm watching this. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, are we expectations reality? I'm like, something big's going to happen. And it's going to be bad. Her getting on gate, her...
I had that same exact thinking, too.
I'm like, oh, dude, just get out. Get out. Jump off the roof. Yeah. Do something. Do something.
You want to pick your TV up and go like, you got to get out of here.
I'd be like, no.
No. This is a train wreck, dude. The longer this party goes on, the more you... Oh, my... You got to get out, dude. I'm telling you right now, you have to get out of here. If none of the stuff is happening in your expectations, people, we're telling you right now, it's best if you just leave early. Don't leave on a sour note. Just leave early. The least you know about it, because when he, because people, what gets worse in this scene is she's talking to one of her girlfriends there, and she shows her hand with the ring on it. And J.G. Hill had this look on his face like he was just ready to jump off the building, man. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
You,
I was
he,
like, dude.
His emo, his, he was, like, smiling, then he turns.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like so. It's like somebody shot someone right, like, so the true love, it killed right, someone right in front of his face.
It's like he just saw somebody rape her right now.
Yeah. That yeah. was, that transition, that's a better
yeah.
transition than Orlando Bloom.
You feel like
me? And
That whole party scene, that was like one of the best scenes of the whole movie. It's just how that worked out or whatever. And most of that credit goes, because since there's no dialogue in that scene, that goes to Mark Webb.
I know.
God, man, what the fuck?
Fucking sellout, man.
Dude, you said it right on the nose when you text me. Mark Webb directed?
His name pops on the screen, and I'm like, is there two Mark Webbs?
You sounded shocked when you texted me. I was like, what?
Wait. This is the same thing with Schneider. Schneider did
yeah.
Dawn of the Dead. And that was, we both liked that
yeah.
movie. And then he does shit now.
Yeah, he does some shit now. He does do shit.
Do,
yeah.
I hope I don't sell out.
Everybody sells out eventually. Every fucking body. Everybody. You brought up a good word, actually. The word you said was transition. I thought that was one of the best things of the movie, is the transition of how it went from like day 2 to day 400 or something like that, because you see the facial expressions change in such a heartbeat that you just like, yeah, you can tell something bad right here. Like you see the scene where they're in IKEA. That's about
yeah.
day 30, I think.
Oh my God, that was such a sweet
IKEA,
scene.
They're having a good time. They're playing around. They're laughing, joking. They're having a great day, right? Then it fast forwards to day 300 and something, and you see them in IKEA again. They're just looking around, looking bored and miserable.
He's still
like,
trying
damn.
To. He's still trying to have that fun. At that fun. You know
yeah.
what they did the first
and she's
time.
Bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's just bored. She's tired of it. She's one of those girls that. There's a reason why she doesn't label herself as a girlfriend or boyfriend, because she's one of those girls that at the moment she likes to have fun, but she gets bored.
That's what I was just about to say. That is just what I was just about to say that.
And she's ready to move on. You can tell just from when they did that IKEA scene, and you see the when they fast forward, you can tell, dude, you might as well just dump her, because there's no fixing this.
Yeah, and it did it. They did it, which it didn't really show why. It didn't show what happened.
It's a human reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like,
that's
that's
a human reaction. Trust me, that's a human reaction.
I've been there too. I've been there too. I've been friend zones like big time like that.
There is no reason why. That's just how women. I don't want women to think I'm.
I like Zoe. She's very beautiful. Very good actress. She's got that fun personality. But they really made her like a bitch. You wanted to hate her.
A lot of women are.
Yes. But they, I mean, looking at her, just look at her. Just look at a picture, look at her smiling and stuff. You'd be like, how can you hate her? But then this, you want to hate her in this.
Broke my man's heart.
Yeah.
That's why I love that ending dialogue scene where she told Tom, you know, you were right. There is a destiny and fate. And stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
because obviously, what was that line she told him that where he had to turn around and it almost looked like he's about to cry? It was at that ending scene too, where she said, "With this guy, I feel the things I wasn't feeling with you."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, you bitch!" Damn.
And obviously, this was what that was like day 488.
Yeah, that was 488. That was day 488. Oh, my... Dude, she already stabbed him with the whole 400 day, but when she said that line, I was just like, you might as well just take the dagger and poke him in the eyes now.
So, pretty much, he was in love with her during this whole time.
And she wasn't.
And she, but no. She was seeing another guy on the side.
I thought, what?
She was seeing another guy on the side.
No, she wasn't. She didn't see him till the wedding.
That's when they met? I thought he didn't ask until after the wedding. I thought that's what she said.
Yeah, she said they were seeing each other. But remember, they didn't see each other for after she quit the job.
Oh, yeah, they didn't say... I don't remember how long what day that was. I think it was 290. So yeah,
it was around 290 or whatever. They didn't see each other. That's why he was all miserable and shit like that, because she... And he wasn't returning her... Because she tried to send him an email. He never returned the message or whatever and stuff like that. And that's when he started going on blind dates and shit, trying to forget about
her.
Oh,
my God.
So she was already, like, seeing this... What was that?
I was going to say, I loved when after the party, he realizes it's an engagement party, and he's in his alcohol, he's just drinking alcohol and junk food and stuff in his apartment, and he's walking around the streets in his robe. That was great.
Streets, LA told this couple, hey, get a room. Really? Let's get a room. The dude looked like shit. He looked miserable. Okay, the dude looked miserable.
Now, you've seen...
You really feel for JTO, because, you know, since you've been in that position before, you just want to tap him on the shoulder and be like, come here, man. Come here. You got to let this go. And I thought that ending dialogue... well, not even so much that ending dialogue scene. There was a... It's when he started to get his life back together as far as trying to forget her. Even in that ending scene where she was just like, are you going to be okay? And he was just like, I'm getting there, you know?
And what a bitch. Like, that was...
You know, you should have told me...
That was his spot that he introduced to her, and that she was sitting there, like she's been waiting for him. You know what I mean?
Oh, this bitch! I mean, but can you really call her a bitch? Because she did say at the beginning, "Look, I just want to be friends. I don't want to."
Okay, what about the time that she led him on? She kissed him in the copy. She kissed him.
You ever heard of one night stands?
She didn't want the one night stand.
Yeah, well, you know, women and men one night stands are a lot different. Women gonna stick around, you know, and keep getting it as long as they can or whatever. But then, you know, when they get done, they're done with you. Men just gonna hit it probably once and just never contact.
You think that's what she? You think that's what her motive was?
I don't think she had no feelings for him. I think her feelings mainly stayed in the friendship zone.
And he just didn't realize it.
He didn't realize it, and I think he was moving too fast on her.
Even his friend said he was moving way too fast.
Yeah, so...
Chloe said that too, his sister.
Yeah, his sister told him that as well, and, I do like that scene where they were talking to him, and they were just like, plenty of fish in the sea, and he looked at them and was like, no, they're right. It's like, damn.
I did like the interaction between them. You could tell she was like his voice of reason.
Yeah.
And I actually... What's that?
Movie opens up with that, actually.
Right? Yeah, and I like that.
I like that whole thing of that conversation, because I've had, you know, we've all had friends that say, oh man, come on, there's plenty of women in the back of the scene, in the back of your head. That line he told them, he says, I don't want to forget about her or move on or whatever. I want her.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in that position before.
Yeah, me too. This, like, yeah, you said it.
Have, you know, it sucks.
You said it best.
You know, you think you found the perfect girl.
Yeah, you said it best when you text me. He goes, everyone has been in his position. Every guy has been in his position.
Yeah, every guy has been in his position where they felt this about a girl. You know, where you finally meet someone that likes what you like to do or has an understanding of where you come from, wants to improve you by seeing you do something better and stuff like that. You think they're perfect or whatever. And then when they don't want you anymore, that shit eats you up inside where you think you can fix it. And you have to understand that. There's no fixing something like this.
Did you notice that there's never a movie about a, like, the same premise, something like that, but it's like where it's a girl, we're following the girl, it's always the guy in this position, never a girl?
Because yeah, they don't, never the girl and shit. The girl always, yeah.
Guys don't do this.
It's funny because The Other Woman just came out, that piece of shit movie where you follow the girl, how she fixed herself and shit, and they fix themselves up in the most easiest way ever. And in this movie, it took this motherfucker 500 days and shit.
Because that's real.
Yeah.
That is real.
That whole...
Go ahead.
That whole him laying in bed, eating the Twinkies, drinking, just laying there, not wanting to get up or anything like that. Yeah. I think we've all been there in a little bit, in a little sense. You know, I've had my moment where I was just like, I don't want to go out. I wanted that one. It's something that you get over it with time and keeping yourself busy and doing shit.
But 500 days, though, I don't know.
That's not really that much. That's a year.
Year and a half, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not really that long. It sounds long, but year and a half.
When you say 500 days, yeah, it does say long.
Yeah, but, you know, it's already 300 and, what, 60-something? Or
365, like I believe.
365 in a year, and then, you know, it's already pretty much a year and a half of going over it. And, plus he didn't spend the 500 days. Man. I think they didn't start really hating each other till mid-300 or something like that, so.
Yeah.
So that's where all that shit went out. But, yeah, that 500 days really displayed a relationship, how it can go from something so beautiful and perfect to something tragedy.
Yeah, and I think their biggest bitch point, not with the party, but when she does say, you know, we should just be friends when they're at the restaurant, and then then their food comes, and then she's just eating like it's nothing's going on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and he's just staring at her, and I'm like,
he walks away, and she's like, we could be friends, and it's like, oh, jeez, bitch. I got a question. Why do women keep thinking that's what guys want to hear?
That's like, I think that's, do you consider that an insult?
Do you think women like saying that to guys?
That's just a polite saying, get the fuck away from me.
It really is, though, like, really is, like.
It's like the nicest, it's the nicest way possible.
Like, because you know, you hear it all the time. Guys don't like hearing that. Guys are like, but yeah, women keep saying it. So, like, do you think they like saying that to fuck with us or what?
I'm going to go with a yes.
Because nobody likes to hear that shit. Nobody. Not a man want to hear that shit.
I agree with you.
Nobody wants to hear that shit. Nobody wants to hear that shit.
I 100% agree with you.
Somebody told me that one time. I looked at him and was like, what does that mean?
I know. Are we friends with benefits? So, you know.
I remember telling someone specifically, I was just like, well, what if I don't want to be your friend? And you can see where that went. That went nowhere. We can establish that friendship after I'm done, after we're already dating. Yeah, we can figure that out later. I don't want to be your fucking friend. Because, you know, once a woman deems you as a friend,
it's over.
Yeah, there's nothing going on with that. If you think you're going to stick around because something's going to work out, it might linger for a little bit that you might sleep with her a couple of times, but it's going to be nothing deeper than that. So, and that's, I think that was one of Tom's problems, is he thought that the more she came around that she was going to change her mind or whatever. And he had to understand that this was something that was already preset in her mind that she's not going to change.
And
this
it's
is who she is.
And he brought it up twice. He goes, like, he says it twice, like, where we're at. He says it in the car, then he says it after his ass kicked, after he gets punched in the bar. The first one in the car, she quickly changed the subject.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, no.
You gotta get away from this.
I'm like, she was fucked with his head. A lot. Like, I can actually see what, you know, what he's feeling, because, like you said, we've all been there. So, I'm like, you could see the signs, but if you're in his position, you can't see the signs.
Oh, that's such a good point, Z. I mean, from the viewer point, we see all the signs, we've been there, done, we've seen the red flags. Whenever you hear those words, it's best that you just take a step backwards. But in his point of view, you can't see him because you're so blinded by...
It's tunnel vision.
Just the interaction you two are having. You're happy to have her there in whatever form of what it may be. But the longer it goes on, the more you start to feel like, okay, we're doing all these great things. Why isn't she labeling me as this boyfriend or whatever she wants or mm-hmm. me or whatever? You know that shit gets frustrating. I can tell you that right now.
And I mean, I don't even know what they were. They were, I mean, in his mind, did he think they were together? Because they were holding hands in IKEA, they're, you know, pretty much making out on a bed, and...
Well, you remember what he said, that scene before, he yelled at her and walked out of her apartment, he was just like, you don't know what this wants to be, but I also have a say in this too, and I say we're a goddamn couple.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty much, they were living both in their own worlds of their moral belief system, what they believe. He believes in love and relationships and stuff like that, so he saw it as a relationship. she believes in just going along as a friends and just going with the motion or whatever. So in her mind, they were still just friends.
Yeah, but
they never had an equal ground of where they were communicating.
Correct, yeah, good point. The thing that pissed me off is that at the karaoke bar, when his friend was drunk and she says straight up, I don't want to date anybody right now. And then, like, that was, like, on a Friday, I believe. And then, like, they showed 2 days later in the copy room. She kissed him. She kissed him there's no signs. They were just, you know, doing her work. And she just walks over and kisses him. So I'm like, okay, that's not being a friend.
And the funny thing is that bar scene you were bringing up is the friend told her, because he was drunk, he said he likes you, whatever. You see that little glimmer in her eye, too. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
As if she was, she doesn't know what she wants her damn self. She's confused. She doesn't know what the fuck she wants her damn self.
Which most girls are.
Yeah, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Uh-huh.
He caught it at the wrong time because she was still going through this phase of not knowing what she wanted. And in that scene, when the friend told her, hey, he likes you, she liked him, obviously, as far as hanging out with, and she sees something where, like, I could probably bring him along, whatever. But the longer it went on, like you said, because they kiss and she's loving the first couple of dates. They're having fun and everything. The longer it goes on, she realizes this is not what I want. I don't even want this at all.
Yeah, it's like she tried.
Yeah.
But if she tried and she shouldn't have gone along with it. She was pretty much, he was her puppet.
Yeah.
And that's
why I love that ending line she gives when she said, when he asked her, you got married, he said, I found everything with him that I couldn't with you. I was like, oh my God.
Which that is, that's like on the line of, like, we can be friends type of thing.
Man, that's the girl way of saying, fuck you. That's
pretty much. Said pretty much everything we've done in the past thing, it meant shit.
Yeah, it didn't mean a goddamn thing to her. Like you know when you say you got a girlfriend, you got that good girl, but you guys break up, obviously, recently, and you find a new girl, and she's so much better mm-hmm. than what your last one was, that you completely forget about the things you've done with that person.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what she summed up to him. And I was just like, damn, dude, she is. I mean, I admire her honesty and how she's being so front forward and truthful and shit like that, but fuck, man, she had no subtlety as breaking it down.
No, she pretty much said the truth. And yeah.
It was hurting, too. I ain't gonna lie. It was hurting, dude.
It was, but we've both been there, and we've heard those lines, and
I've never heard those lines, that last line. I never heard
I don't think anybody's actually heard that line before. I think that's like the killer line.
Man, that is the line where you like, because he was about to cry, dude. He turned around, and he came back, and he tried to change the subject by joking around about it and stuff, but That's the line where you just get up and walk away. I don't know what you say. I wouldn't know what to say after that.
I think I would be speechless.
Yeah, that is the definitely that line, man. When I rewatch, I was just like, God damn, I feel like daggers are stabbing me on both sides of my chest right now. I was just like, man.
I mean, oh, God, man, I just,
that's a cold line.
That was a smart. I cannot. Okay, at the very beginning of the movie. What there was some print on there. I'm trying to find out what exactly it said. This movie is not about. Is that about this movie's not about someone?
Oh, you're talking about the narration.
Yeah, right. It says any resemblance to people living or dead is purely coincidental, especially you, Jenny Beckman. That's a bitch.
Well, the funny thing is, I love the narration. The narration
says, it sounds like James Earl Jones.
Mm-hmm. I love the narration because it sets up that a boy meets girl story, and already in our head, we're just thinking boy meets girl, they fall in love, get married, blah, 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 happy ending here. But then the narration ends with, but this isn't your typical boy meets girl. This is almost more of a tragedy in here. And you're thinking like, oh. Okay.
And it... It's a tragedy to the male species.
It's a tragedy to the male species because there's every guy has failed for this.
Oh, yeah.
Where you tag where you tag along some chick and you get friend zoned and she keeps friend zoning you, but you every time you guys like hang out, you see a little spark there where you just like, we could probably work this out. I could probably change her in some way or whatever. We could do something. And you just don't realize that it's getting worse the more you hang out with her.
Yeah. I mean, oh God, you just just watching this movie, it's like watching your life. It's like watching like a relationship that you're still like it's in the back of your mind, you know, it's like tattooed in your mind. Like you can't lose it. Yeah. You're like watching it. You're just like you're like having flashbacks. You're like watching what you are Joseph Gordon-Levitt in this movie, which is that's something that's so powerful and it's so different in a movie. That's why I'm like, I love this movie because it's like you as a male, not as a females probably think, oh yeah, I did what Zoe did, you know. But as a male,
you're absolutely right because when I saw this movie in theater, I had a girlfriend at the time. I took my date over and she told me she's done this before to someone.
I'm not surprised.
And I was just like, I asked her the same question that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was asking this movie. I was like, what? Why would you do something like this? She's just like, I really didn't know what I was thinking at the time. I was just like, I don't even know if that's a good answer or not.
No, I would not. That's not an acceptable answer. No. Girls know what the fuck they're doing.
She told me, she was like, I was still trying to find myself. I didn't know what I wanted at that point, whatever. And you, for some reason, you can't get mad at them because they do set that up at the beginning of the relationship. But there's somewhere in the back of your mind where you feel like you should be mad.
Do you think if they didn't say that at all, do you think if they never had that scene, would you have hated her more?
Which scene?
Her saying that she doesn't know what she wants. She just wants, you know, she doesn't want a relationship right now.
She repeats that like 4 times in the movie.
If say she never said it at all.
Never said it at all.
Would you hate her more?
I would hate her from Joseph Gordon-Levitt's standpoint. As the viewer's standpoint, I would want to know what's her deal of who hurt her or something like that.
Did he hate her? Did he, like, was there absolute hate? Because hate's a very strong word.
I mean, even when he said it, he hated her or whatever, he couldn't even finish those sentences or anything like that. He hated her, but as far as, like, what she's doing to him. But if she was to come knock on his door when he was saying that, he would have took her right back that day.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I would say he hated what she's done.
Yeah, she's hated what she's done. Because I don't, it doesn't go on level. I'm coming from his standpoint that he's never been in this position before.
Oh, I don't know, because at the very beginning, when Chloe showed up, they said, which girl was it this time? So, obviously...
Well, obviously, because they even said that, like, you've been broken up before, people dumped you, and then he said, but this one's different, though. So, I'm still thinking that, he's had girlfriends before, but, you know, like usual, they break up, and, you know,
because
this one is the one that really put him in a predicament where... He went 20 times out of his way for.
And he was the, you know, the romantic guy.
Yeah.
And so he obviously probably wants, he probably thought she was his one. The one to die with.
Yeah.
And I've been in that position. You know, I've been married. So I've been in that position. And I truly know what he feels. And that's what, I think that's the most powerful message in this movie.
I think this is one of the best dating movies. If you got a date,
this
is a movie in theaters. I would tell you.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
No, you take your date to that, and you look at them, and you be like, "You gonna pull this shit right here?" Best, I'm telling you right now, Z. This is the best movie to take your girls
first date.
Damn straight, you can get that shit out right away. That way, Z, when you ask her about it, it won't feel awkward, but like you can just act like you guys are talking about the movie. Just be like, so, have you ever done that before or anything like that? And if she tells you no, that's when you put a red flag, like,
So you'll be the first.
You can be the first, yes.
Okay. I think all girls probably do this, I want to say at least once.
Every girl. I don't want to say every girl, I don't know every girl, but I know almost all my homegirls. I have a lot of them that have done this before. I've seen girls do this. Schools I went to, I've seen girls do this. I mean, you see it on it's a normal thing after that happens. As sad as that sounds, it's normal.
And the part that, I mean, we'll go to the very, very ending. with Minka Kelly, who's goddamn, she's absolutely beautiful.
Oh my god. Oh.
Oh, Minka. It leaves a very big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see more.
Would you like this as a TV series?
Yes, I actually would. This would be like Lifetime. It would be on like Lifetime or something, but
this would be the most depressing shit to watch ever.
Would.
Could you imagine only watching 30 minutes of this and just like it ends on every bad note? Like, god,
oh my god, no, I actually not probably want to watch it on a TV series then. So I'll be like, what happened?
And then you gotta wait every Sunday for it to come back or whatever. And can you imagine if the season ended with that scene at the restaurant where they were having a breakfast? Like, the season ended with her just saying, I just want to be friends or whatever. And he gets up and walk away. And just the season ends right then. You got to wait like 4 months for it to come. You're like,
what? Then hopefully it doesn't get canceled.
Yeah. Hoping it doesn't get canceled. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, man. It's just that when he even asked her, what's your name? Autumn. I'm like, oh, fuck, man.
Oh, she was gorgeous, though, dude.
Dude, she's so fucking... She is. She's so pretty.
She's got to be the prettiest woman we've ever done on this show at all, as far as I'm going. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Every 47 episodes we've done, including this one, which is 48, she's got to be the hottest chick I've seen in any one of the movies. I'm going to go ahead and say that. I love that woman.
I'm looking now.
I'm thinking, too, but I'm not... And I'm just beating that. I'm sorry. For me, at least.
I gotta look.
A woman, man. A woman.
Nia Long? From Friday?
No. Not Nia Long, no. She's black, so no.
Kristen Stewart?
No, hell no.
Yep, the Yellow Power Ranger?
Oh, hell no. I was gonna say Ivan Ooze from Power Rangers.
You don't want to boogie with the bear?
No, boogie with the bear. Hell no. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. She's...
I'm at 32. Blake Lively was pretty hot.
I don't give a shit, no. You don't beat this chick, no. Did you see when he sat down and he just looked at this chick was glowing, dude.
She was. She had like an aura around her.
She had an aura where you were just looking at her and you was like, she had one of those looks where you couldn't take your eyes off her, but you want to because you kind of look kind of creepy if you did. And even in that little scene, though, there, their chemistry they had together, like, it just worked so well. Like, you could see them hanging. I was just like, oh, these two are getting along well right here.
Yeah, and they're both have an interview for the same job, and they both said they both like that park area.
And they both said that they don't hope they get the job, which I thought was pretty funny.
That was cute.
That was kind of clever. I was just like, I would have never thought of saying that if I was in a...
And she canceled her.
What I like about the ending too is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt grew from the experience.
Yeah, and she, you know, he asked her out. He like did a manly thing. For a guy, that's probably one of the hardest things to do is ask a girl out that you don't really know.
Mm-hmm. That's especially when, after this.
This
huge meltdown.
Because I'm not gonna say not saying from my experience, but I'm probably from like other probably people that what he went through, people have probably killed themselves for.
No, you're right. People have.
And that would have been a very dark turn if they did that.
I mean, he was damn near doing it just by sitting in bed all day.
Yeah, that was that could have been a dark turn, but thankfully they went a positive note on it. And he grew up.
That's perfect word there. He grew up in a way. He learned. He didn't leave that relationship bitter and angry at her or whatever. He left it wanting the best for her, and he just moved on.
Yeah, and asked her what her name, Autumn, and he breaks the fourth wall, and he had a little smirk.
At the end of the movie, you smile with him. You felt like you've grown with this character here.
But you're kind of thinking, oh, fuck, don't fall in love with her now.
Well, he says it at the end, because the narrator says Tom understands. The whole thing of meeting women and stuff like that. So, like I said, you kind of follow him growing up as a human now.
Why is Minka Kelly not a big star? Because she's so beautiful. Why is she not in, you know what I mean?
She probably don't want to act that much. You never know.
Last movie was The Butler.
What was she doing in The Butler?
She was Jackie Kennedy.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Because I don't remember. She aged or something. Because I do not remember seeing her at all. I don't remember seeing her in there. I know. I do not remember. Yeah, I don't remember seeing her. So
you probably blocked them.
They probably had her on one of, because they did with the presidents. They did like some TV shit where you're watching them on TV. She probably was in the background or something like that. Then,
possibly.
They didn't really show the president's wife.
But she's credited as Jackie Kennedy. But I fell in love with her watching Friday Night Lights. I'm like, who's this girl?
She's decent. Nothing really stands out.
She's not. She's fucking the greatest actress. She's
decent.
She's young. I mean, she's 33, but she's only been acting since she was 2003, so about 10 years. So she's still, she's behind anyone else in her age bracket.
Yeah.
So, but...
What would you give the movie?
I don't want to... I can't give it 5. I'm going to say 4.5. Because I can't say it was a perfect movie.
It was. It's the best romantic comedy film ever.
I would agree with you on that one. But I can't give a best rom. I can't get a. I don't think a rom-com a 5. That's very hard. Because that's like saying, I gave Avengers a 5. I can't say it's on the same page as Avengers.
You're not putting it on that level. What the fuck are you talking about? See, that's the problem with people like you. You compare it to the Avengers. It's not the same as the Avengers. You compare it to itself. Why the fuck can't critics get that through their head when they compare movies to each other? I'm comparing it to other fucking movies that ain't got shit to do with it.
But is it the best?
On its own level. What the hell is wrong with critics doing that? That shit bothers the fuck out of me when they do that. That's not the same level as the Avengers. Did you love the movie? Did you enjoy it? Did you watch it? Did you see it? God damn it, shit. Shit is annoying when people do that.
Did I love it? Yes. I think, okay.
Give it a 5.
Okay, the reason why I probably... For a separate movie, yes, 5. Dude, it's a 5 stars. Because...
Okay, check this out. Will you see it again?
Oh, definitely.
Will you recommend it?
Fuck yes. I would recommend it. I fucking talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. You fucking text me about it. What's the problem then? Because it's not the Avengers? That don't make any
sense. I don't know. It's it's on the tip of my tongue, but I just can't say it.
I gave the Avengers a high seed? Is that what you're saying?
No. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't say it. Why but for a rom-com, it's a different type of rom-com. It's
just realistic.
I think it's the most truest rom-com movie ever.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt knows how to do it. I mean, he did it again with Don John or whatever. He knows how.
Same lines?
What?
Would that be like a realistic rom-com?
Which one?
Don John.
Yeah.
Really?
What he does with Scarlett Johansson. I mean, Scarlett Johansson is like a step up from Zooey Deschanel's character.
Yeah.
She's kind of, they're kind of the same way here, to be honest. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character in that movie is a cross between Zooey and...
Oh, really? I haven't seen it yet.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So, yeah. very realistic. The motherfucker is the king of a romantic comedy film, and he needs to make another one.
But, yes, I would recommend it. This is... Without a doubt, the smartest written romantic comedy movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
and this is actually the only romantic movie that you watch it, and for a guy point of view, and probably girls, you've been in that position. Everything else is no. It's like a happy. It's they end up together all the time.
Yeah, this except one, for Don John.
Spoiler, dick.
dickhead, movie spoilers, you fucking stupid-ass bastard. Already did a review, dumb-ass shit.
Yeah, listen to it.
Damn, you stupid, nigga.
No, I listen to your show. I listen to the show. But this is a well-written, well-acted movie.
Silver Lining Playbook kind of did it, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But, actually, romantic comedy films have been getting better lately, so...
You know what? You know, since when?
Since 2012.
I would say since this was the start.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far. We had a lot of shitty ones in between this one and 2012.
We're always going to have shitty ones.
Yeah, but you remember that Katherine Heigl? That's when she started her run on romantic
comedy. Oh, with Ugly Truth and all that bullshit?
Yeah, she did like three in the middle of this time. So yeah, 500 Days of Summer was a rare breeze out of that. But then once 2012 rolled around, we started getting some good ones. There's even some cute ones that came out like About Time. Came out last year where you really love those characters and see what I get there. There's been a lot of great romantic comedies lately. Every now and then there's been one where you just look at it and go like, God damn, why the fuck did that come out on this trailblazing of just like great writing and great character romantic comedy films?
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where they're almost Oscar material films now, and you go back to something like The Other Woman and you go like, oh. Wow, you just pretty much dumb down that whole fucking series. For me, I'm giving it a high C. This is definitely... I remember saying last year or even the year before that, we're on a roll with romantic comedy films, but I'm still trying to figure out which one's my favorite. After rewatching it twice now, 500 Days is still my favorite romantic comedy
film. Isn't this like one of your top five all-time favorite movies?
Might be my top five or ten. Yeah, actually it would be.
I think you said that before.
I think the movie is fucking amazing. Direction-wise, man, I still can't believe Mark Webb.
This is like... this guy's Spider-Man, I take it. Because this was his only movie. And Sony must have loved this movie if they gave him Spider-Man. Or he was the only one that's, you know, obedient enough to follow Sony's direction, you know?
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, that's really what it was, because Sam Raimi started getting a little, I don't want to do that, and they looked at him and was like, oh, really? You're fired then. I'm shocked that they would take him, though, even though he has that contract with Fox, which I did not know about until recent news.
Oh, I read something about that, about promotion.
Yeah, he has to promote Fox's movies.
X-Men.
Yeah, he did it in Spider-Man 2. Like, at the end of Spider-Man 2, people don't even wait after the trailer. I mean, after the previews or whatever, because it's just a trailer for X-Men.
That's it?
Yeah, and you're looking at it, you're just like, what the fuck? What does this got to do with it? The reason why is that because after this movie, 500 Days of Summer, Mark Webb signed a contract where he has to promote Fox movies in his movies now. Which, I don't know how that benefits Sony at all. I don't even know why they would... Like, can you imagine if you just saw, like, a clip stuck... Like, what if they would have just stuck a clip of X-Men into the actual Spider-Man movie? How weird that would have been.
Or if they somehow... They would have thrown Wolverine in it somehow. And then a movie.
You know, in, I want to say Turkey. They did that in a Woody Allen film, Blue Jasmine. They did that, They put, like, a smoking sign, like they stopped the movie completely to put up a smoking ban thing or whatever during the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, they did that in America, people would be in a frenzy.
Yeah.
I paid to see this movie. I didn't pay to see advertisements in the middle of it. It's not a play, it's not intermission time.
Yeah. That's unusual. So he's got, is it a certain time frame on his contract, or is it?
They didn't bring up any certain time frame, whatever. So I don't know if that's forever. Did he sign that?
Welcome to Suarez.
Well,
which I can understand why he would sign something like. I mean, first time director, he probably didn't think he was going to get any work after this. You know, he probably didn't think 500 Days of Summer was going to be what it was, cult classic following and shit like that. So I can understand why a director would do something like that, because you wouldn't think of your next project to be working on one of the biggest properties in film history, right?
No. After who would have guessed? He probably had no idea that after this, he would be taking on probably the most iconic superhero.
Exactly. So I don't think any director would think that after they made like this little small indie film. It's a romantic comedy where it's like not, because one, number one, is there's no budget really into romantic comedies. Usually the most is like $10 million unless you got like really huge stars or something like that. But even with that, you really don't need like The Other Woman. That shit costs like $40 million. I'm just like, why? There's no reason why movies like that should cost that much.
Personally. Cameron's probably, that was like, probably like 50% Cameron Diaz.
Exactly, and Cameron Diaz ain't even a star. I'm sorry, but the bitch ain't.
No.
She should be happy she's still working, okay? Let alone let alone talking about I need this much money. Come on now, bitch. Whatever.
And Kate Upton's just there to run very slow in a bikini.
Exactly. And then you see something like this, where you're just like, $7 million, it's a reasonable budget here, but, you know, it obviously is going to make money back because it's so cheap. Or whatever. But, you know, damn sure don't expect Spider-Man to be your next project after that.
And this movie
I'm shocked he didn't get Joseph Gordon-Levitt, because, you know, some first-time directors like to work with.
Yeah. Nolan has his people. I think he has like someone in like every one of his movies, right?
Fuck yeah. I think he got like three in Interstellar, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think. Well, he's got such a huge cast in Interstellar.
And even Transcendence that just came out, the motherfucker, his cinematographer who directed it, he was Nolan was a producer on it. They even had Cillian Murphy, Morgan Freeman, and somebody else worked with Nolan in the film. Wasn't in the Batman film though, but
And Tarantino.
Tarantino does it. He's known for it as well.
He's always got
himself.
Samuel Jackson. Yeah, he's got himself. He's got Samuel Jackson. He's got Cheech Marin in a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at like all the awards that this got nominated for. Holy yeah. Shit! Golden Globe, no Oscar though. But
yeah, this was a nice. It was a nice little indie film. One of my favorite indie films. Actually,
This is on a lot of top 10 lists for 2009 from critics.
Oh fuck yeah! Was it my number one? It was somewhere in the top.
St. Louis Dispatch was the only number one.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think for romantic comedy films, this movie set a standard for it, and I personally give it a high seat. It is like Z said, it is definitely one of my favorite movies of all time. Could not wait to own it.
Oh yeah, this is a definitely watch multiple times.
I love your reaction of when you saw it. I love showing new people that haven't seen it before.
Oh, you love when you get me to watch a movie I've never seen before.
Oh, especially something like this, though. Because, like, I'm making an example. I'm thinking that you think that, like, this genre is stupid, like romantic comedies.
Nah, I don't think it's stupid. I think it's outplayed.
Yeah, because it's always some fantasy bullshit.
And it's the same shit over and over.
Nobody would fucking do that. Oh, of course they're going to have a happy ending. Yeah, that's just how it works out for everybody. Huh? Whatever, you know. And, you know, you see something like this that not too many people knew about. And something like this, I just love showing people on a regular basis.
Do you still, to this day, recommend this movie?
Yeah, I did it for somebody the other day, not too long ago. Actually, like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Somebody was asking me what was a perfect date movie I can go rent or something like that they haven't seen yet. I was like, you guys see a lot of movies. I was like, well then if you haven't seen this old film, where this would be a good one for you. I actually gave him my copy, to be honest.
Yeah,
I was very proud of that, because they like you they came back with so many questions. It's just like, it was a couple of my friend was like, she's such a bitch, and the girl's like, she's not a bitch. She told him. I was just like, and we just looked at her and was like, I told my friend, I said, you better get away from her.
Yeah. A guy's opinion on this will not be the same as a girl's opinion.
No.
It will never.
Dude, even in the movie, it wasn't the same. Because remember, when he went on the blind date, he was moping about the girl and talking about how evil she was. And she was just like, let me get this straight. Did she ever misuse you or treat you bad? Where he was just like, no. And she was like, and she told you she just wanted to be friends from the beginning, right? He was like, yeah. And she just looked at him like, well, then what's the problem, man? And I was just looking at her like, bitch, don't you make sense.
Mm-hmm.
He's hurting right now, so don't make sense right now. I think it's a very good discussional film.
Yeah, I can't, you know what? I cannot wait for the comments.
Oh, on the film itself?
Yeah, for next week.
Shit. Arguments, whatever. Yeah, what's wrong with women? Why would they do this to us? You motherfuckers need to open up your ears and listen, man. That's your problem.
I would love to hear, like, Stacy or Cynthia, who we haven't heard from in a while, their opinion on this. Right. What's that?
They cussing their man out right now. Cynthia told me some story of, I believe it was Valentine's Day or something like that. She had this thing set up for her boyfriend or whatever. She had all kinds of things set up for him. And he knew about it because she didn't want something for him, but he didn't know what it was. And he decided to fly out of town to go hang out with his friend.
Oh! He got his dick cut off.
tell you shit like that or whatever, and like, you kind of don't want to say anything because it kind of sounds like you're jumping on the guy and you're just trying to take his girl or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, when you see situations like that, you just want to pull the guy to the side and be like, what kind of dumbass move did you just pull? Why would you do that? Why?
Yeah.
A week after? I don't get that. Why would you do something like that? I don't know. When she dumped your ass, you're gonna be looking like JGL was in this movie now. But yeah. Guarantee not one woman that you meet after this is gonna set something up nice for you.
No. I just want to know if with him in Autumn, that's all I want to know.
Is she fine? That's why you want to know. I want to know about Autumn too. I want to know what's in the panties.
Yeah.
Anyway. I love talking about that movie though. Anyway, question time. Amethyst Chaos, she says, why are there not more good modern gladiator movies like this one in Troy? Are they really that hard to make?
I would say budget wise too.
I don't even think Troy is that good. I think it's fun.
Yeah, Troy is a fun fucking movie.
Yeah, Troy is more of a like we said in the movie, more spectacle and glamour and showing off and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I love the battle scenes in Troy. Don't get me wrong. I love all the fights.
Yeah, there's a lot of boring moments with the dialogue, but the fight scenes are fucking amazing.
Yeah, the costumes look fucking great too. I don't know what they're using for those costumes and location wise. I don't know if they're actually going to these locations or not. But if they are, Rome is broke, so I'm assuming that filming out there must be expensive.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. I know Greek and all, they're broke as fuck right now, so I'm assuming that they probably charge a little bit more if you want to film out in their area.
Is there really a need to see a lot of gladiator movies? Back in the day, you had Ben-Hur and all that shit, but
I think that movies, I personally love the movies like this. I think one of the reasons why is they make them PG-13. Obviously, why do people make movies PG-13? To get a younger audience in there.
True. They want the money.
Younger people don't go see this shit.
No, this is... I mean, okay. If they made Gladiator PG-13...
Yeah.
That would have been complete bullshit.
I think I would have been a little turned off on some scenes.
Yeah, because one, this is back in the days where...
Yeah, there ain't no rules.
There's no... Like, exactly. You pretty much kill or be killed.
Yeah.
You're going to do whatever it takes. So, yeah, it has to be an R. Troy, was Troy R?
There was a lot of blood in that movie, so I'm thinking it was PG-13.
I think there was nudity, too.
Yeah, there was nudity in there as well. I think PG, you can get away with some nudity in PG-13, right?
I think one breast and I think a butt.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up.
You know, it's hard. Ratings are a bitch these days, because I've seen in some movies, even some superhero movies where they show blood and shit, and I'm just like, well, even in Avengers, when Agent Coulson, Mark Clark Gregg got stabbed, you saw blood all over Loki's scepter and shit, you know, and all over him, so I'm like, so, I don't really know what's allowed in PG-13 or not.
Troy was R.
Is there a certain... It was R? Okay. I'm assuming it was, because there was a lot of shit going on.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
When he stabbed his brother in the throat, or cut his throat and shit, mm-hmm. Blood, all that blood. Yeah, I would have.
It's been a while since I've seen Troy. So, I wasn't sure.
I like watching the clips of it. I love that fight scene he had with his brother.
Yeah, the Brad Pitt-Eric Banya fight, it was a great fight.
Yeah, even the first fight, it was kind of like that Thor moment where they got this huge dude, and then Brad Pitt, he's like a small guy, comes out of nowhere, and he just runs up on him, and he's just like, he's about to get his ass, he just does that little sidestep and stab in the throat, and he just walks away, and just like, damn, that nigga badass! Fuck!
Yeah.
I'm gonna beat this motherfucker, and then, you know, like, I think that what kept that movie so intriguing is just like, everybody saw him as one of the best warriors ever, and he proves it so much, so he's just like, oh.
Yeah.
He doesn't take him down, you know?
Then we found out the Achilles heel.
That pissed me off in the movie, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
When that little crying bitch of a brother was the one that took him out, I was just like, what? Oh, man, bullshit. Alright.
Fuck you. You know what? Fuck you, Orlando Bloom. Everyone hates you.
Yeah, he got his ass whooped in that movie.
Yeah.
whatever. Yeah, I think that's one reason, though. PG-13. Make it rated R. It seems like they go more for spectacle than they do story, and I think they need to remember that these movies are about story.
Yeah, and the last one that came out was Pompeii, and that absolutely bombed.
Was it Pompeii? Didn't something else come after that?
Oh, 300.
300, yeah.
Yeah, but that...
300, Rise of Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one was... yeah.
That's all you're getting from us. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but just looking at the trailer, yeah. I mean, it over 100 million, but still.
It's cartoonish.
No need for a sequel.
Fake blood. I don't like fake blood. It takes me out of the movie, I'm not going to lie. And there's just fake blood all over this. Because they put it in slow motion when they cut somebody and the blood just squirts on the screen. So I'm just like, that looked like some jelly.
There's no need for a sequel to 300.
Yeah, you're going to get a third one.
Oh, motherfuckers.
Ends on a cliffhanger, and it made a lot of money, so I'm sure they're gonna wrap that up somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's one reason. I don't think they give a fuck about the story no more in these movies.
No, I think you're gonna get like the scenery, the costumes, you know, characters, but fuck the story.
Yeah, and I think they actually need to like Clash of the Titans and all that. You don't give a fuck about that story. What did they keep talking about in that movie? You see a titan. You see, what was that goddamn thing called at the end?
The Kraken?
Fuck, I forgot what it's called.
The Kraken. Kraken.
Yeah, that's what people wanted. That's how they marketed that movie. A Kraken.
Yeah.
So yeah, they try to go off on those movies with special effects these days.
Yeah. I mean, Gladiator went like, it didn't have much special effects.
You didn't have no special effects. That was some raw, dirty shit right there.
Yeah.
but look who was behind it, though. Ridley Scott.
Yeah, and then, you know, it was Prometheus.
And look who they're getting for these movies these days. You ain't seeing no Russell Crowe, no Pompeii, or nothing like that. You're seeing TV actors.
I think they're cheaper.
Yeah, they're cheaper because they're trying to get a breakout role. And number two, they don't have no experience with anything. And number three, they get directors that are just wrong for the roles in general. So,
yeah.
I mean, when you got Gladiator, you got all the right elements of what makes a good movie, not just this kind of period piece movie. You have all the elements of it. You have a great actor in Russell Crowe. You have a director that has some credibility to him. You have some writers on there, the team. You have supporting cast that may not do much, but they serve what they need to do. You have Joaquin Phoenix, who definitely plays that role of how he is supposed to play it. He's not trying to chew up scenery or trying to step over Russell Crowe or whatever, but he plays it the way he's supposed to play it.
Mm-hmm. And people love God of War. The game.
The movie? The game? I don't know about recently, because the last game's been... last game pissed me off. That game sucked.
Did it?
But yeah, that's a pretty big franchise in the PlayStation team.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would up the cinematography on it or something like that instead of making it look like an arcade game, but, you know. I heard they were making Dante's Inferno into a movie. Have you ever read that?
I played the game, but there was a movie, Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, there was an animated one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which was fucking... I heard they were making that, though, so I don't know. We'll probably see more of this anytime, so... it's actually one of my favorite books. Andrew, he says, why do you guys think this film's worked more than the others that have tried to follow in its shoes?
I think this was more real. Now,
captured the tone.
For the time.
Yeah, they captured the tone of that time.
Correct.
When you do a period piece, that should be the first thing that'd be on your mind. I want to capture the tone so when the audience is watching it, they believe that this period is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of explained that to especially the actors and writers and the director and all. They had a budget, let's say that.
Yeah.
And it makes things look cheap.
This one, you got the star power. You got the names behind it. Troy, you had Brad Pitt. Who was the director of Troy? Was it Wolfgang?
I think it was. I actually don't know that. How'd you bring that up? Right, you know what? Go ahead, keep talking.
Look that up. You have names. Troy just pretty much had Brad Pitt, and you had Eric Bana, who I think just came off the Hulk. Then you know, living off Orlando Bloom's Lord of the Rings bullshit. Gladiator. It's
Wolfgang,
got.
You're right. Yeah.
Was it Wolfgang?
Yeah, Wolfgang did do it.
I would say Gladiator had, you know, you have Ridley Scott. You said he's got a name. He's got some credentials. Not now,
he's got
but.
Huge credentials.
Not now, but.
Yeah. He still has those credentials. They're people will give him it. Not as far as the public eye, no more.
No, but he gets a pass. He gets a pass.
Yeah, Hollywood loves him.
Yeah. Russell Crowe, he's a huge name now. This movie was his star. And the story is fantastic.
And the movie pretty much gets by as far as, like, if it was to be introduced without watching the movie first with Ridley Scott's name attached to it.
Yeah.
So that's always a plus as well. But, Claudette, she says, absolutely love this movie, mainly because I love Russell Crowe. What is something from this time period do you guys love or dislike the most? I love the costumes. That's my thing.
It depends, because I don't like the guys that wear the wigs.
Oh, the senators and shit?
Yeah. I'm like, British. Yeah. Yeah, that's a British thing.
I love the armor weapons.
That's, like we said before, Russell Crowe in that first Gladiator fight scene with the mask and everything.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I love fucking Brad Pitt's costume in Troy.
Awesome.
Love it.
Yeah,
it was just awesome. It just looks so comfortable. I don't know. It's just something about it. It's like a superhero costume. You just put it on, it's like your warrior's outfit, you know? It looks empowering, you know?
I like the fight, too.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing.
I like the time period. Like, we could even go all the way back to, like, Glory.
Yeah.
And, like, the time frame, just like you said, the tone of the time frame, because you've seen Saving Private Ryan, you've seen Glory, the battle scenes. It's unbelievable. It's because that's what really happened. You know, you're not getting sugar-coated. They are going down in the trenches to do this shit.
The director and the writer, they read the source material behind it or know a lot about that time period when they put it in there. That's why I think movies like 12 Years a Slave or Gladiator will have a bigger impact on the audience members or whatever because they got the time period so fucking correct.
Yeah, and it's a hit or miss, really.
Yeah.
Like, if I made one now, you know, I really have to know my subject. I really know I have to know my subject.
Yeah, you should be a history major if you're gonna do this.
Yeah, because
that shit gets judged when you do a time period or whatever, and you don't feel like you are in that time period. Like American Hustle, don't really care for the movie that much, but I thought that David O. Russell got the time period right a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The '70s. There's been some movies where I've seen that was supposedly in that time period that did an animated film you want to talk about, The Nut Job. Apparently, that was supposed to be taking place in the '80s. I was like, that didn't feel like the '80s at all.
Really? Where the fuck did that come from?
Was it the '80s or seventies? It was one of those. Whatever. They had like the old suits on and shit, and the way the buildings were structured and shit like that. And then you look it up, it's like, oh, this film is based on what the fuck?
Cartoon should not have cars. Cars?
Yeah, the cars, how they had it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the movie Cars. Okay.
Yeah, you know, shit like that. Not once did I ever think that movie was in that time period. I was just like, I don't get where this is. Then when they show you, you don't get. Okay, another one. Django.
Uh-huh.
It's hit and miss with the time period in that one. Because you hear music like Rick Ross, and then you
go
stop music, you can see shit like that, whatever. I think that one is one of the films that was just like, I don't, sometimes you're taking me out of the Western feel of this movie here and shit, you know, with throwing in elements of stuff that are today, 2014, that we know of and shit, you know.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
like we're well gonna said. See A Million Ways to Die, that Seth MacFarlane movie, the Western movie is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but
yeah,
the trailer has a lot of references to now.
So they're making a current, a 2014 Western when it's really in 2014.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Do those I don't think cowboys that, like, cowboys that wear the cowboy hat everywhere, I don't think they really exist. Like, you know, like the cowboys back in the old days, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think they...
Yeah.
So, no. I think that's just going to be, like, a funny version of fucking Django or something.
Yeah, it's just it's a comedy movie, but for me, what I'm throwing an example is that shit better be really funny, or just, I don't know, if they're playing, like, fucking, I don't know, a Lady Gaga song in the middle of a scene, so it probably might take me out if it's not funny. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you said, like, Rick Ross and shit on Django, that, like, was a major turnoff for you.
After, like, a Western scene just happened. And then they played like a Rick Ross. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was with it too, because I think, didn't they play a 50 Cent song?
They played a 50 Cent and Tupac.
And I'm like, what? You want to get something that's
Western music in there.
You want to get something that's with the time period.
Like, because in Django, when the Rick Ross song came on, it was when he was riding the horse.
And yeah.
They just showed a silhouette riding through, and I was like, why did they play a Western song? I don't understand why directors make that choice of doing things like that. I don't get that personally.
Oh,
it's not funny or
made no sense.
No, I don't get that at all. I would like to just keep it with that time period. Because obviously, you made it in that time period because you want me to believe it's in this time period. But don't throw in things like you just said, 50 Cent, Tupac, or fucking Rick Ross music, or like. I don't know, a lot of people are talking about that Seth MacFarlane movie. They're talking about it's the funniest trailer of all year or whatever. I looked at it and was like, Seth MacFarlane needs to stop trying to be an actor.
When
I think he said best last week. He's better behind camera.
When you hear the word funny trailer, that means you see the whole movie's in the fucking trailer. How many comedies have we seen that the funny moments are in the entire trailer?
A lot of comedies made my top 10 worst of list last year.
Yeah. And I think, wasn't This Is the End, or was it At World's End was one of your top 10? Or was on the borderline?
This Is the End and World's End. I like both of them. Those are only two comedies I remember. Like, if Don John was considered a romantic comedy as well, then those three. Those were only three movies. After that, there was a lot more comedies out that year, and they all were flat to me. I'm sorry, none of them were. There was a lot of fucking comedy out last year, and it just did not hit at all. And I don't know, a lot of people were bragging about this Seth MacFarlane, but I'm just looking at him, just like, I don't see why people are liking this so much, because Seth MacFarlane looks...
And he's a star?
He is a star of it.
No.
Yeah, have you seen the trailer?
Yeah, he just needs to stay behind the camera or do voices, that's it.
Yeah, because he has this facial expression on his face where I don't take him serious or
whatever. Yeah,
just,
yeah.
He's looking at his face. I don't know what it is about that look on his face he has. It just, I'm looking at it just going, like, you're not a leading man.
I have noticed, though, that this year, there's only been a handful of comedies.
Oh, thank God, because I can't go through
them. Like, Ride Along. I think that's Ride Along is probably the most money that's made on a comedy. I'm not counting like cartoon movies, but Other Woman, About Last Night. I just saw one.
About Last Night is a remake, so.
Yeah, it was Grand Budapest Hotel. That's a comedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're not having, and so they're not going to be releasing a lot of comedies in the summer. I know Neighbors comes out, I think, in a couple weeks.
After next week, so
they don't want.
People are already saying that's the funniest comedy of the year so far. So you gotta stop sucking these trailers, dick. I don't know what your problem is here. I mean,
why do you think I hate Godzilla so much? And I'll first admit it when I see it, and if I like it, I'll admit it. I'm like, I was wrong, but I'm not getting my hopes up on the fucking trailer.
I personally don't even think you guys say he was wrong. You don't like the trailer. The trailer ain't that good to you. That's not telling your reflection of the movie.
Doesn't make me interested.
No.
A trailer's supposed to make you interested in seeing the movie. Godzilla turns me off due to the fact that I'm still reliving the fucking 1998 version of Godzilla.
Well, I can tell you this right now. I'm not reliving any of that shit because I've tried to forget those movies a long time ago. I can tell you right now, I'm not like the rest of everybody else as far as saying that trailer's amazing and the movie will be awesome. I think that trailer looks generic, if you ask me.
Yeah, and Amazing Spider-Man.
All you see is a bunch of people running, screaming, hollering, and Bryan Cranston talking in the background, and you just see this one shot of Godzilla. I'm just like, I don't get why people are saying this is the best movie, your best trailer already. It's for me personally, I'm going to wait till I see the movie, then I'll give it this credit, but for far as I'm seeing in this trailer, all I'm seeing is a lot of people running and crying.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like, it could be footage of 9/11, you know, we don't know, you know. That's the thing, it's like, Spider-Man. How many, there's like 17 different fucking trailers of Spider-Man. It's like, I've already seen the fucking movie.
You've seen the movie already.
Pretty much. So I'm like, seen it. Oh, he takes off his glasses. That wasn't in the trailer. You know, he takes off his mask. Oh, that was the whole first movie.
And plus with Godzilla, monster movies, you really gotta watch those movies, because I can tell another reason why I'm not excited for it is because Pacific Rim. I understand that there's a formula to follow for these monster movies, and that's the first half, it's we learn about this character. The second half, it builds up the story as far as what this monster was or where it came from or something like that. And the third act is when you see the monster and he's destroying shit or whatever. I'm kind of tired of that formula, to be honest, with these movies.
Cloverfield did a smart job. So
maybe that's why I'm not... What was it?
Cloverfield did it smart.
It was a mystery.
Yeah, it was pretty much about the monster the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. It was a fucking mystery. You want to know what this thing was, and you never find out what it is, and you see all these designs of it, and then you see like these little creatures falling off of it and shit. That monster was interesting as fuck.
That
Godzilla, I don't really give a shit about his mystery or his background story or anything like that, because there's like 20 different fucking movies I've watched.
Maybe I'm with you on this. Maybe
Pacific Rim, I don't think there was.
I watched Pacific Rim again not that long ago, and I think it's just for spectacle.
Yeah, it really is robots versus monsters. But for me, I don't think it was enough of that.
Yeah, they needed a lot more. And
I thought there was more. I thought they spent more time with the human characters than they did the monsters and robots.
Which even go back to like the old the Japanese Godzilla. It's about the monster.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if that's
what you want to see, right?
That's what's bringing. That's what
monster, right?
That's what. Yeah.
What the fuck about it? You're like, people are telling me like in Pacific Rim, a lot of people are telling me there was a lot of monsters in it. I was just like, yeah, but then we get scenes of them training and shit like that, like the human character, and they're arguing and shit like that. It's like, nobody gives a fuck about none of that. You said it best in Transformers or whatever, in the review we did, which you did like the movie or whatever, but you said that nobody gives a fuck about watching Shia LaBeouf look for a job.
Yeah, I still say that.
You want to see Transformers, is that not what you want to see? You
yeah,
see
it's like, it's like,
I don't want to fucking see Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, it's like watching a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, because I'm a huge Freddy fan, and you don't see Freddy at all throughout the whole fucking movie.
Oh, wasn't that part two?
Yeah. It's kind of like that. You know, it's... You have your namesake, Godzilla, monster, whatever.
Halloween 3.
Halloween, yes. Yeah, perfect example. And that is your moneymaker, Transformers, monster, whatever. And if you don't, you know, you're focusing too much on the characters, and then what is bringing people in to see the movie. Transformers can sell. Yeah, just the name.
That's why I didn't like Pacific Rim that much, because all the people talking about there was so much monsters and robots, I was like, I got more human interaction than I did monster interaction, because the first couple of fight scenes were like, what, a minute long? And then you get the long last one at the end, but at that point, I was already tired, because I'm looking at these people running around, making choices, and I'm just like, I don't give a fuck about these people. Shit.
And the fight scenes were cool. I'm not gonna lie, they were cool.
If I could have seen them, yeah.
Yeah, if they were better lit.
Yeah, I wish the cliched here is, how come these monsters only come out at nighttime? Yeah, that's...
And Godzilla, I'm kind of thinking that we're not going to really see him. We know what Godzilla looks like. We've seen 20 fucking movies of him. So, yeah. I kind of do want to see a new take on what he's going to look like, but if they fuck it up, that's going to be a huge letdown for me. Well, I'm not going in high expectations.
Yeah, you don't have any expectations.
No,
but I have a feeling, because, you know, like I said, these movies follow a formula. I have a feeling that this movie is going to show you 30 minutes of Godzilla. If any of that, because you're going to see him pop up at the last 30-minute mark, and then in between you're going to see characters running or something like that.
It's going to be a two-hour movie, I know that.
Yeah, it's probably going to be more than that.
I've noticed movies are now a lot of movies are 2 hours now.
Yeah, you got to get used to that. Only ones that aren't is probably romantic. No, well, I take that back, because The Other Woman was an hour and 49 minutes. God damn, that movie did not be an hour and 49 fucking
And look at every fucking... Like, movie ain't never... Look at every Vince Vaughn movie that he's been doing. It's always fucking 2 hours. Internship was 2 hours. That was my biggest fucking complaint about that. It was the same thing over and over and over again.
There is no reason for a Vince Vaughn movie to be 2 hours.
I mean, I'm not. I like Vince Vaughn when he goes on his little tangent, but no, I don't want to see Vince Vaughn for 2 hours. Hour and 20.
Should have to be over 2 hours.
Yeah.
I recently told somebody to watch Wolf of Wall Street. He bought the Blu-ray. He watched it. He said he loved it, but he said it wore him out. He's like, I'm thinking of taking the Blu-ray back, getting my money back, because I don't think I could ever watch this movie again as far as the length, because I can't devote 3 hours of my time watching this again, you know? I was like, I completely understand that, actually. Like, I think it's one of the funniest movies of 2013, to be honest. And I completely agree with you if you told me this movie wore you out and you can't devote 3 hours of your time to watching it again. So.
That's a long time. Like, I love Pearl Harbor. The movie, and we can go back to the whole thing, and this is probably why people hate Pearl Harbor. Not because of Michael Bay.
That movie again.
Huh?
That movie is over 3 hours, isn't it?
I think it's on the cusp of it. So yes, okay. That movie can take you out because it's a long period before the attacks happen. And this is the whole thing. You got a movie named Pearl Harbor, and what does it focus on? You know, this is the same formula with the monster shit. People, I don't know why directors and writers do this. Like, I'm doing my Living Dead. What am I having in it? Zombies. Yeah.
Like I know you need a steroid character and all that, but I can tell you this right now. Had you made Pacific Rim, what you were selling to me, that monsters versus robots, you would open up the movie with monsters fighting each other and carried that on for an hour and a half. I probably would have been like, that's what they told me it was going to be, so I liked it. It was monsters beating the fuck out of robots all day, so.
I mean, yeah, you gotta have a break. You gotta have, like, a relaxing period, because it's like watching, like a big UFC fight. Like, say, Lesnar versus...
Yeah.
And then they go to, like, say, Silva and St. Pierre, and be like, you need that rest. You need that relaxation for at least 10, 15 minutes to calm your nerves, because then the next one's supposed to be bigger.
Yeah. So, again, my problem is just I don't see enough of the monsters and robots that they try to sell it to me. I see more of people that I don't give a fuck about.
Well,
when they try to plan their time out, what they do is just like, it's not even important. This doesn't even matter to the plot or anything like that. So it feels like I'm wasting my time. But you know what? We got more questions. I forgot to read these last week on our MTV Movie Award show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, man.
I kind of forgot about that, too. Whatever. We had a lot of shit going on. So, Roland Winchell, he says, I didn't watch these awards, but man, just hearing you guys talk about it just sounds boring. Mila Kunis as best villain? Give me a fucking break. Who was the best villain for you guys in 2013? My pick is our healthcare in Dallas Buyers Club. I didn't know that could be a villain, but okay.
You win the award.
America's healthcare wins the award.
Best villain of 2013.
That would have been funny as fuck had they put that in the MTV Awards, though. health, America's healthcare, Dallas Buyers Club. I would laugh.
Best villain of 2013.
Michael Fassbender.
Well, I haven't seen that yet. I would say movie 43. The movie in general is a villain. I liked, I know you're going to probably bash me, but I liked Jane Levy in Evil Dead.
She's a villain?
She was the demon.
I don't even know if I would consider that a villain. That's the thing.
Okay.
That was her reasoning for, I don't know. I don't know how
to. All right, Guy Pearce. I liked Guy Pearce.
Good question, though, because I don't know if they consider possession to be the villain. Cause you're
no? A victim. You wouldn't say even Exorcist?
She's a victim.
You know? Okay, okay, I see that, okay.
It's not like she's intentionally wanting to do this, like where you have like Guy Pearce or Michael Fassbender, and they want to do this shit, you know? So, like, I liked Guy Pearce.
I did.
Guy Pearce was fucking badass.
Yeah.
Came from a broke fucking nerd to a... I like this answer though, Roland. The healthcare in Dallas.
That's great. That's a great one.
Yeah, our healthcare. So that's a good one, actually. I like that one. That's
or the best villain's Michael Shannon from Man of Steel. No, the villain's Superman for destroying the fucking town.
I was gonna say the villain is Russell Crowe for explaining the plot to Michael Shannon. So
the villain's the tornado that killed Kevin Costner.
There's a lot of villains in that movie.
Zack Snyder's the villain for fucking that Superman up.
There would be no Michael Shannon revenge plot had Russell Crowe never told him the fucking plan in the first place.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm just gonna stick with my house today because I can't even remember. I don't really remember what came out early last year.
Yeah.
So yeah. Aiden, he said, very brave of you guys to actually sit through this train wreck of an award show. Yeah, it was pretty boring. I'm not gonna lie.
You hated it.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was gonna be funny, like at least whatever. But it was just like they were being like so serious about things too. It was just like, oh man.
Yeah.
Goofy about this. It just kept getting boring and more boring. But he says, do you ever think that people awards would be taken seriously?
Read the question above you or the comment above you of who won an award for best villain.
That's a good answer. He said, read the comment above you. Oh, see you in Roland. I'm rolling.
see Roland Winchell. No.
Having dogs on the Rockaway. Yeah, how about that?
No,
you know what? When they get better interviewers, not stupid bitches that don't even know what the fuck a special effect or green screen is,
or the girl that interviewed Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The bitch that didn't even know what a fucking green screen was. Like, are those real metal attached? What the fuck?
Whatever. No, it will never. No, when you have a best shirtless moment, you are never going to be taken seriously. This is probably a step above the Razzies.
When you give Channing Tatum something equivalent to a Lifetime Achievement Award, what does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't even been around a lifetime. How the fuck are you going to trail? But what the fuck?
Yeah.
When you let... Who was it? When you let Josh Hutcherson... Matthew McConaughey, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Chiwetel Ejiofor... You ain't never gonna be taken seriously.
When you let the fans vote numerous times, this is why you're a joke of a thing. That's why Oscars have their own panel. Golden Globes have their own panel. The Saturn Awards.
Jane Lee Woodley better than Jennifer Lawrence and Divergent? No.
And that movie just came out, so I don't know how it's nominated.
And her performance was not better than Jennifer. I'm sorry, I'm not like sucking Jennifer Lawrence's dick like everybody else does. I don't even think she's that great in the movie, but I don't think Saline Woodley's performance was much. No, like you said, when you let fans vote, they'll vote for any fucking thing.
Yeah, that's why 4 out of the 5 Twilights won Best Movie. And we both said, we both know that Breaking Dawn Part 1 was complete fucking trash.
Shit was boring as fuck, dude. It made no sense or whatever. Oh, by the way, Divergent, the last movie's gonna get split up into two movies as well.
So. Yes, someone told me that. I think you did.
I think we talked about it, probably. Yeah, I think we already talked about it, but yeah, that goes back on that trend we were talking about 2 weeks ago, so yeah.
Yeah.
Amethyst Chaos, he said, all I'll say is at least you guys had a better time than this. I did with that sorry-ass lame attempt at comedy with Nick Cannon's comedy special, Mr. Showbiz. Why the fuck would you watch that?
Why would you watch anything Nick Cannon's titled?
Yeah, hashtag fuck Nick Cannon. How about that? At least P1... You don't even have you ever have to review it. I wasn't planning on reviewing this. She trying to make it sound like she did us a favor or something like that. Like me and Z going like, let's watch Nick Cannon's Mr. Showbiz and review his stand up.
He's not even funny.
He's not even a person.
He's only famous because who he's married to.
Women love him too for some reason. I don't get that shit.
I don't either. He was very popular as a kid. Like, I think a Nick or something. He was very popular.
A teenager.
Yeah, and then he turned a straight douchebag. Like, it's like Justin Bieber. People love him, but he's a douchebag.
And plus, he tries to rap.
Doesn't he have albums?
Yeah, he has albums, yes. Yes, he has albums. His newest album just came out like 2 weeks ago. It's called White People Party Music.
Whatever.
Because he's doing that album dressed in whiteface and saying that he's trying to. Oh my god! I can't even get the words.
I just forget him. That's
he's an anomaly that I will never understand.
He's one of those people that you go like, why is he famous?
If you type his name up, it credits him as entrepreneur, actor, musician, rapper, host. So many fucking jobs.
Mariah Carey's bitch.
Yeah. He dated Christina Milian and Mariah Carey. I'm just like, god damn, those are two fine ass women. And we're like, how the hell did he get them?
Yeah, that's a damn good question.
He is something I will never understand. Even if I met him and he was to break it down to me, I'd still be looking at him like, I don't understand it still.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely one of those things that keeps getting chances. And whatever. All right. Hashtag fuck Nick Cannon. That's what you need to be doing. But last question I got here is from Mac.0 Blue Hybrid. He says, well, that's another year, another MTV Movie Awards that I should have avoided like I did last year. I thought things were going to be interesting until they gave Mila Kunis the Best Villain Award.
That was like the second award, so you turned it off quick.
A lot of people shitting on that award, though. Like, man, she don't even think she deserves that, probably. But he said, then again, knowing these awards, I know they were going to pick the obvious choices of Hunger Games, some bland, hot gay guy, and whatever's left. Yeah, I'm not going to watch the next MTV Movie Awards. I don't think I am either, to be honest. After this shit.
Well, they try to take this seriously with their nominations. And that was pretty much a slap in the face of those nominations of who won those awards.
I would have been insulted. Were you? I don't know. If you were Matthew McConaughey or one of them, would you be insulted?
For like a minute.
You got beat by... Yeah, for like a minute, then I'd be like, it doesn't even matter.
Then he's like, all right.
The only way I'd be insulted is if Josh Hutcherson put a video on and was like, I beat these guys right here, I'm the best, or whatever. I'd be like...
Do you think if they win an award, do you think it's taken seriously? Do you think they really, like... They gotta remember to be honored because they were voted, because it's fans. But do you really think their ego boosts because they beat Leo and stuff? Because teenage girls aren't going to go see Wolf of Wall Street. Teenage girls aren't going to go see fucking 12 Years a Slave.
All I got to say is, Channing Tatum was crying in the audience when he got his award.
Yeah, because he's never going to ever experience that ever again.
Yeah, you only cry when what, Z? You have a real emotional hit in it. You won an award. It's an emotional impact right there for him. And it was a fucking MTV. He cried. He must have took that shit serious then, apparently. If I won an MTV award, I would just be like, yeah, all right, awesome.
Well, party. We both know he's never going to be nominated for an Oscar.
If that happens, I'm going to need to quit then. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do this anymore if that happens. I don't know what world we live in where people are saying he's getting better. I'm like, what? At what? What is he getting better at?
Yeah.
Because I only seen one movie he worked in, and that was because, why? He's playing a dumbass.
Play what you know.
People. Oh, isn't it?
Play what you know. Take the role that you know.
Thank you. Play what you know. The thing is, it was the same writers that wrote Scott Pilgrim, which I can't stand Michael Cera, but they wrote his character to be somewhat entertaining, like the same they did with Channing Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Parker is boring, whatever, but we've been going on for almost 2 hours now, so I'm going to wrap this up by saying, what was that? I don't know what that was. What the fuck was that, by the way? Thank you for listening to Throwback Tuesday, episode 48. I'm the final one, MoviesportsPodcast.com.
I'm Z from TheFanCritic.com.
And we will see you people next week on another edition of Throwback Tuesday.
Later, later, bitches.
Later, bastards.
They made a statue of us and put it on a mountaintop. Now tourists come and stare at us. Blow bubbles with their gum. Take photographs of fun. Have fun.